This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Noah's put a lot of work in through the years, a lot of time, a lot of sacrifices on his part, and I think, you know, this is his dream to be pitching at the major league level. And double play. Sorry.
Noah, I'm applauding too.
And it's been his dream to get here, so I'm very happy for him and proud of him, the work he's put in.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Brooke Fletcher. She's in Arizona for CHSN covering the Chicago White Sox. And she was on the air with Larry, right? Larry Schultz. And he was doing, he broke into some play-by-play.
Yeah, Brooke. He did play-by-play of his son making his debut for the Sox.
Getting that
summer.
Double play. That was pretty good stuff. Cool. Brooke, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well here at the facility, and it's beautiful weather here in Arizona.
How did you just happen to be interviewing Larry Schultz when Noah Schultz got his first ground ball double play? Nice timing.
Honestly, I'm so surprised that he agreed to do the interview, because I know how like nervous parents get, especially as they're making, you know, if a guy like Noah making his Cactus League debut. But yeah, usually, you know, Noah told me when I talked to him in the clubhouse that morning, he goes, yeah, my dad's a pacer, by the way. You know, he has his Apple Watch and his heart rate gets so high because, you know, that's how nervous he gets. And so I was like, are you sure you're good to do this interview? He's like, yeah, it's fine. But, you know, his grandparents were there. His dad couldn't have been nicer. And I know you could just tell how proud he was just seeing Noah, you know, follow his dreams there.
Well, I think a lot of us were really interested in seeing Noah. We haven't seen enough of him. He's a young lad, 21 years old. Obviously, he's the top prospect they have, I believe, in baseball. And both those guys got in. Both of the left-handed pitchers, him and Hagen Smith. He said that they had a real easy friendship. He said the two of them, they're the same age, right? And that they, I think he said he has sisters and no brother, and he's met his, you know, a guy that he considers close enough as a brother.
Yeah. Well, they actually, you know, Noah told me that he had been here all off season, and Hagen got here 3 weeks before pitchers and catchers actually reported. So, you know, they had plenty of time to bond. You know, they're still a little soft-spoken, right, because they're still new to the media training and everything. And so when I was asking about the relationship, he didn't say much. But, you know, Noah said that, you know, this was a great time for them to bond. They, you know, are in similar situations, you know, as far as just everybody looking at them to be the future of this pitching staff with the White Sox. And so I think they really had a lot to in common and just a lot to bond with. But, you know, these two for sure, you know, walking around the facility, these guys are hand-in-hand, they're throwing partners. And so I can, it's pretty cool just to witness them just kind of go through this together. And I'm sure, you know, this is the start of a beautiful friendship between these two.
Casablanca.
So, Brooke, you were out there yesterday. Sox get their first win, but the news wasn't all good. Andrew Benintendi, broken hand, it looks like, 4 to 6 weeks out. He got hit by a pitch. And that's just unfortunate for a guy who had a strong second half. And I know he's been a disappointment as a free agent, but he was a guy the Sox were counting on. You were there yesterday. What do they do now, and how difficult was that for them to take?
Yeah, so, you know, he immediately, when he got hit on the hand, he came back to the dugout and he took his batting glove off, and you could just tell he was uncomfortable is probably the best way to describe it there. But, you know, he's been very upfront about how he's looking. He understands his role and how he wants to prove himself this season amongst a lot of other guys on this team here. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a big hit. They were able to still get the win without him yesterday. But, you know, I think having Michael Taylor, I think Austin Slater, and just having some depth there alongside Tauchman and obviously Luis Robert Jr. Out in that outfield, I think they're okay. But, you know, this is your mainstay, right? This is a guy that's supposed to be a leader in this clubhouse and everybody's supposed to look up to. You know, the fact that he doesn't have to have surgery, I guess, is in that it's happening early in camp. You know, he still could be ready somewhat in the beginning of the season, depending on how his recovery goes. I guess that's a bright spot if you can try to take a positive away from it, but still not what you want to hear when it comes to your mainstay and a guy like Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, it is a thin roster, but if you're going to have an injury, I believe they had five MLB players under contract in the outfield, so you feel like maybe they can cover that spot, but you know, they're razor thin, and we know they haven't spent a ton of money. And they're going to be relying on young players, especially moving forward and especially among the pitching staff. So great to see young pitchers that are going to matter eventually. I think a lot of Sox fans just kind of want to hit the fast forward button.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I think we saw a glimpse, you know, Noah and Hagen, obviously, a lot of people are excited about them. Grant Taylor has, you know, he had a great outing showing that he can get his velocity up. It was funny. He actually didn't even realize he was throwing that fat or that throwing that hard. But, you know, talking to Ethan Katz, you know, there's a lot of encouragement around, you know, you got Bryce Wilson, you got Sean Burke. Talking about Sean Burke, this is a guy that was looking for an opportunity last season, and he was able to capitalize. It was a short stint in the bigs. But even, you know, talking about him, he just kind of lights up. And you got Jonathan Cannon, Davis Martin, yep, had a really great outing the other day out in Colorado. And, you know, now they're trying to figure out who's going to be the starter on opening day. They're, you know, we're seeing a mixture of things and makeshift. And so they're trying to figure out who's going to be those five guys. But, you know, we talked about Martin Perez. Having a veteran presence in the starting rotation is huge, especially when you have a young staff. Martin, I know you guys have heard about his reputation in the big leagues. And he's just great to work with. So positive, and he's just really encouraged by what he's seeing from this young staff. Now it's just a matter of them believing and putting these guys together.
So, Brooke, you've been out there for about a week, and it's obvious you are in your element doing these Sox games. And I just wonder, as you get to know Will Venable, the new manager, a little bit better, how would you describe his impact on this young team and just his approach day-to-day as a new manager?
I think communication and being able to be approachable to this clubhouse has been huge for him, and it's at the forefront. When he walks into a room, David, you know, he just has this natural command, right? And just this presence where people just gravitate towards. And what I love about him, just witnessing him around the facility, he has his hands in everything, but he's not showy about it. You know, he's going around, he's getting a feel for the guys and what he has, but he's not making it about himself. I still think he's trying to find himself, you know, as a manager, and that's going to come with time and, you know, talking to the media. But a lot of guys just, you know, they just love the way he communicates. Corey Lee called him and Walker McKibben, their bench coach, like the two professors. You can tell the wheels are always turning when you're talking to them, and they're just trying to really teach these guys and get them to understand their roles and what value they bring. But, you know, again, just trying to find his identity as a manager, it's going to take time, but he's very approachable, and he's getting there.
Brooke, we're very interested in all things Colson Montgomery, and not just because David can relate to him as an Indiana schoolboy legend, but that's part of it. I'm curious, you know, he had back spasms and he couldn't play, or he was a late scratch with the back spasms. How big a concern is that? Is that just a minor thing that popped up? You always worry about taller dudes, you know, and just their back issues. And I mean, he's a very highly rated prospect and a guy we've been waiting on for a number of years.
Yeah, you know, we were kind of surprised, and when we heard about that, it was about 45 minutes before the game started, and we got note, you know, that he was going to be scratched. They said it's day to day, but you know, he had followed up with him saying he was at batting practice yesterday morning, and he kind of felt something. You know, he tweaked it a little bit, so he just wants to, you know, be on the side of err on the side of caution. But yeah, you have to be careful, especially out here in Arizona where it's so dry. I mean, I'm kind of getting a taste of it just being here for a week. Can't imagine these guys. You got to stay hydrated because, I mean, it gets hot out here. So, and a guy for his size as well, and because of everybody is looking at him, you want to make sure you're not pushing him too hard. And but they told us that it's no concern there. But it was funny yesterday. Yes, it was his birthday. He was turning 23. So he was so excited to play in the game. He goes, "My favorite player is Michael Jordan." He's like, "It's my Jordan year." So hopefully this is foreshadowing, especially in the Chicago sports market, that I'm going to have a good year. I'm like, we're manifesting it for you. So I'm sure he was bummed that he couldn't play yesterday.
Talking with Brooke Fletcher from CHSN. She's out in Arizona covering the White Sox at Camelback Ranch. So you had a sit down, I believe, with Chase Meidroth. You've talked to a lot of these young guys who are fighting for spots and starting jobs. And we don't really know a lot of these guys. They could probably show up and you'd have to be introducing, wear name tags, please, because we can't remember your names. How are they all coming together, Brooke? And how is that, does that maybe infusion of youth and maybe anonymity create this level of competition that you're looking for?
Well, I think it's like the perfect recipe, to be completely honest. You got a new manager, new coaching staff, new leadership there, and you have a group of young guys that are hungry, right? Ready to prove themselves, I think. And then you also have a group of veterans that I feel like have been in the league for a while, but they're kind of looking to have some resurgence when it comes to their career. So I think it's just a perfect combination when you're looking for an organization that's trying to find their identity right now, and they're trying to all kind of prove themselves and why they belong. And so, but I love, you know, going into the clubhouse, I mean, everybody has been so kind, so willing to talk and just open about their stories. You know, Kyle Teal has been a fun personality that I think Sox fans are going to really appreciate once he gets to the bigs. He's been fun, and you know, just these young guys.
And he really humiliated Roki. He turned Roki into an afterthought.
Well, what's so funny is I was there, you know, and he hit, you know, the homer off of him. He said he took the fastball because they didn't have a scouting report on him. So what's funny is he didn't even know Roki was going to be throwing BP. He's like, yeah, I just kind of showed up. I knew we were going to like hit off some Dodgers pitchers. But when I saw Roki, I was kind of like, oh crap. Okay. So, you know, he goes up and he saw the fastball and he crushed it. But guys, when he walked off, you could tell he was sticking his chest out a little bit. He was feeling himself. I'm like, okay, Kyle. But yeah, you know, he's a fun guy. He's an interesting dude, but that can definitely do a lot for your confidence. But it's a good group of guys, and I'm excited for White Sox fans to get to know them once they all start kind of making their way to the bigs.
They're trying to stay positive because they have to stay positive. Right. They have to feel like it can't get any worse because last year was historically bad. And I think you see that reflected in, you know, the veteran like Martin Perez. He comes in, he says what he said. He says the Sox could be contenders. I don't know that anybody else believes him, but I think that's the attitude you want for him to take, maybe. What have been your impressions of him, and is he a guy that you think is a candidate to start opening day?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question on if he's going to start opening day. You know, because of his experience, you can lean towards that, right? But, I mean, they've been super impressed with Davis Martin, Jonathan Cannon as well. Yeah. But there's a reason why he's been in the bigs for as long as he has been, obviously for his talent, but just what he brings to a clubhouse. And I think a lot of people forget like how important that is, especially to have camaraderie when you're trying to build World Series caliber teams. And, you know, when you have a young pitching staff, it's great to have a guy like that. And I know some people are like, okay, Martin, like you're a little delusional there, you know, when you're talking about being a contender, but it's better to have somebody that's positive and speak good things into existence rather than being negative, right? I mean, it's so early. We're at spring training. You don't want somebody going around and be like, yeah, we're going to suck this year, right? Or like, nah, we're not going to do anything this year. So I think you have to have some guy that, you know, has experience that can can be a mentor to these young guys and show them what it's like to be in the bigs and just to be positive and just to create that atmosphere that you want when you're trying to establish an organization and establish some direction.
Brooke, quickly back to Kyle Teal, because I can't get enough of that story. I think it was the highlight of camp thus far. It's my understanding, you know, there's a whole media contingent from Japan that is following the Dodgers and obviously interested in Roki, and they interviewed Kyle Teal, like, how did you hit the unhittable pitcher? And he apparently, it might be bigger news in Japan than in Chicago.
It might be.
I think it's kind of like a welcome to the show moment. I think it was funny. He was just shocked when even the reporters in the clubhouse, just the, you know, beat writers and stuff were coming up to him and asking about it. He's like, whoa, I'm not used to like this much attention here. Yeah, I mean, I think he gained like 1,000 followers the next day on Instagram, which is insane, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
But, you know, he's a humble kid, and I'm hoping to maybe like have a sit down with him, just because the more I'm around him, the more I'm learning just how interesting he is, and just you know, wanting to get to know him a little bit better. But I think Sox fans have a lot to look forward to with this guy.
So
also very talented as well.
Oh yeah.
Today the Sox play the Angels, is that right? And then Jonathan Cannon's making his first appearance, I believe, his spring debut. I know you have sat down with him as well. He's a Georgia guy. You like your Georgia people. And he's impressive because he's mature. I just wonder, what are the expectations for him today, and how is he coming along?
No, I mean, nothing but positive things about him. Talk about another great guy here. You know, even Katz has just talked about wanting to add some more pitches in the mix just to help him grow. You know, he had a 5-pitch mix right now. So just trying to develop, I think, things like his sinker and just accelerate that. But you know, this is a guy that, I mean, I think you're, especially it's still early on in spring training, so you're not wanting to push them, you know, too hard right now. They're just trying to figure some things out. But this is a guy that's, you know, everybody is so high on, and he is definitely a candidate when it comes to talking about guys starting on opening day. You have to definitely count him in the mix. So I'm excited to see what he can do versus this Angels lineup. I'm curious if T.A. is going to be starting today,
right,
you guys. I got to go
right.
Look at the clubhouse, right?
He homered against the Cubs yesterday. He's hot.
He always does that, though.
Well,
he'll be in a good mood.
Well, I know White Sox fans would be excited to see him on opening day if he makes the team.
Speaking of if he makes the team, I'm curious if you've had a chance to sit down with Oscar Colas at all, and if the injury to Benintendi could be an opening for the Cuban Ohtani, as he was once known. Love to have Ohtani's bat in the lineup.
I mean, I think I haven't had a chance to sit down and talk with him, but, you know, I do know that he understands that this is it for him,
right,
and that this is a huge opportunity. And, you know, he was saying the other day that every time he gets in that bat, every time he's out on the field, he knows he has to capitalize here. And so we've seen glimpses here and there, but I mean, he is looking at this as like, no, this is it for me, and I got to make the most of every chance I get.
Brooke, you're doing a great job. I really think you are in your element, as I said. Just so people know what role you'll be playing during Sox broadcasts on CHSN, people know your dad was Scott Fletcher. People know your brother-in-law is Gordon Beckham. But you have been around baseball your entire life. What are you looking forward to the most during these Sox broadcasts?
Yeah, it's been so much fun just to be around the facility, you guys, because, and I didn't realize, there's people that's been here for years, and they've been coming up to me, and they're like, last time I saw you and your siblings, you guys were like this big, and, you know, please tell your dad I said hi. And it's just been really, cool and kind of a full circle moment. But, you know, as far as this broadcast goes, I'm just excited to be able to share, you know, this story. I've kind of looked at myself, I thrive in like being kind of the underdog mentality, right? And, you know, covering the Tigers during the time where they were going through their rebuild, it's just so fun. I see some similarities in that. These young guys, they have so much to prove, and hopefully I can use just my experience and my family's background just to be able to shine a light on them and, you know, get White Sox fans excited about the future of this organization. And John and Steve have been so welcoming, and so I'm just really appreciative just to be able to be a part of this broadcast and get ready for this season.
Great stuff, Brooke. Really happy to get a chance to talk to you, and love your work. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brooke.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That is Brooke Fletcher.